Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
City to host annual father-daughter dance. The City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department is hosting its sixth annual father-daughter dance from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. June 17th in the ballroom at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street. Tickets are currently available for purchase at $25 per person, and all fathers or male guardians and their daughters are encouraged to attend. This year's theme, Happily Ever After, celebrates the special bond between fathers and daughters. The event will feature exciting prizes, a DJ, delectable food, a photo booth, and much more. Tickets can be purchased at tinyurl.com/.y6jxctj5 and tinyurl.com/.283xc8vr. Literacy Coalition Making an Impact. The Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin may not have been around very long, but it's starting to get noticed, not just locally, but worldwide. John Trusgitty III, Executive Director, recently took a trip to England to present to the World Literacy Summit. The conference is usually held every other year, but they haven't had one since COVID. He added that the conference had always been on his radar, even when he was director of the Midland County Libraries, but it was hard to justify that kind of travel working for a government entity. His board saw the value of going to the Literacy Coalition. There were a lot of networking opportunities, and it was an opportunity to raise the profile of the organization. I think the recurring theme that I gathered was that awareness of the severity of the issue is still a problem. We get so kind of trapped in our little bubbles that we think, well, everyone that we know and are talking to is aware of it, but that's still a pretty small pool of a lot of times. So what you can do, or what are creative things that you can do to really raise awareness outside of the usual suspects of education, adult education, junior college, those kinds of things, much more community, everyday, average Joe kind of awareness. Then really just kind of re-emphasize the need for both addressing literacy at the adult level, where people have gotten to adulthood and don't have the necessary literacy skills to maximize their potential in life, he said. Some people have difficulty reading. They can't read road signs, understand their children's prescriptions, or pass a CDL test. They're getting by, they're gainfully employed, and they're maybe putting food on the table, but they've hit a glass ceiling when it comes to job promotion because they just don't have the literacy skills to do that supervisory function or to do that very technical function. But at the same time, you're addressing the adult piece to address the kindergartner's readiness piece, the family literacy piece. Because those are the people that end up growing into adults that struggle with that because they start school behind. Once you get behind, it is very difficult to catch up, he added. He noted that people are more prone to drop out of school or have additional academic issues. There are different ways to go after the literacy issue, even in the Permian Basin, Trusgitty said. The approach is different in Roswell, New Mexico, than Ozona or Fort Stockton because the problems, demographics, and socioeconomics to those places may be unique. Unfortunately, there's not a cookie-cutter solution for literacy, or someone would have fixed it a long time ago. He added that they recently had a board retreat talking about what the first 2 years of the organization have looked like. We've got a lot of places to improve and places we want to continue to work, but one of the places we feel like we have made some ground is in the awareness space. We are starting to hear it be much more of a conversation when people talk about workforce development or whatever that may be that literacy is now part of, that conversation that it's not so siloed in just the education space. We went to a program that another organization was putting on, but they were using our data. That's always encouraging. People know that the needs of assessment is there, and it's specific to our region, which I think makes it more applicable, which hadn't been there before. It's available on the website for everyone. It's not a thing that we're trying to upcharge folks for. We want people to use it because we feel like if awareness is getting out there, then that's when communities decide that, hey, this is an issue that we try to tackle, Trichetti said. The coalition is taking over the Power Bag program from the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. Power stands for Power of Words and Early Reading and is a project to promote early literacy. We're launching that under our umbrella. It's an established program that's been successful and we feel like has been really good bones on it. We have some ideas on what we want to do. We're going to expand it. We've gotten a commitment from the Fort Stockton Hospital in Pecos County. We're going to grow out here and Hobbs in Lee County as well are coming on board this year and then changing some of the content of the bag. So we're excited about that, Trichetti said. He added that they are launching the Laura Bush Ladies for Literacy Initiative, which is being modeled after the Laura Bush Literacy Foundation in Houston. They have a Laura Bush Ladies of Literacy Guild. We really like the work that they're doing down there, he said. They're probably who we want to be when we grow up. They've been around 20 to 25 years. And so they really have some great results, Trichetti said. They contacted Bush's office to see if she would let them use her name and likeness, and she was very gracious to allow them to do that, he added. The sub-grant program was very popular last year, and we're currently raising money to refill those coffers. The application window for that will be open this summer for distribution this fall. We had several Ector County recipients last year. We had Fort Stockton, Trichetti said. They are also having quarterly convenings for members, trying to provide some continuing education and support to the territory the Literacy Coalition covers is help them to build capacity. Odessa's Got Talent Ballet Folklorico Yolia. Ballet Folklorico Yolia will be one of the groups performing at this year's Odessa's Got Talent. The event is a fundraiser for the Permian Basin Mission Center and will take place at 7:30 p.m. June 17th at the Ector Theater. The group consists of Isa Valdez, Edith Olivo, Zarai Rodilla, Ari Valdez, Sofia Guzman, and Ruby Dominguez. For more information and to vote, go to https://tinyurl.com/3m4x7b7j. Description of talent or musical type. Ballet Folklorico Dance. How long have you been together? Our group was formed in January 2023, but our advanced students began dancing as young as 5 years old. What city are you from? Midland. Why did you decide to try out for Odessa's Got Talent? We saw their promotion on Facebook and decided to take a chance in auditioning. Ultimately, we want to share with the community the love and pride we have for our culture. Have you auditioned for OGT previously or been a prior contestant? If so, when? We do not perform regularly, but we do perform at local events in Midland and Odessa. We also have Mariachi Yolia as a part of our organization, and we are available to perform at weddings, parties, and other events. Any other awards or honors for your talents? In March 2023, our advanced dancers received a Division I rating at a statewide folklorico competition, receiving awards for each of the 6 entries we presented. Not only was this the first time our dancers have ever competed in a folklorico competition, this was also the first time our students had performed as a member of the BF Yolia. Anything else you would like to share? We are excited to participate in this year's OGT and would like to thank everyone involved for the opportunity to perform. We know June 17th will be a success. We will be accepting new students ages 4 through 18 for our 2023-2024 season at the end of June. For classes and performance inquiries, send us a message on our Facebook, Yolia Mariachi Folklore y Tradición. Anti-fentanyl bill co-authored by Landgraf signed into law. Legislation co-authored by State Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, to create harsher penalties for fentanyl traffickers and dealers was signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott on Wednesday. The legislation, House Bill 6, filed by State Representative Craig Goldman, Republican Fort Worth, was a major legislative priority for House Speaker Dade Phelan, Republican Beaumont, and the governor. Fighting back in this fentanyl crisis is crucial, Landgraf said in a press release. This is a battle and the casualties are tragic and close to home. I am very proud of House Bill 6 because it will save lives and put dangerous criminals behind bars. House Bill 6 delivers swift punishment for fentanyl-related crimes in Texas, creating and increasing penalties for manufacturing or delivering fentanyl in Texas. This, along with other bills to better fund law enforcement, help communities and agencies combat the ongoing crisis in an appropriate manner. House Bill 6, along with several other bills signed into law, and the $5.1 billion we secured in the budget for border security, will better fund and arm our agencies, towns, and Texans in defending and securing our southern borders, Landgraf continued. It's infuriating that the Biden administration continues to ignore the problem, but Texans, including young West Texans, are dying. So we are taking action on the state level. I'm proud to be part of the fight to keep Texans safe and secure the border. Fentanyl-related deaths reported in Texas increased by 89% from 2020 to 2021. Since Operation Lone Star began in March 2021, the Texas Department of Public Safety has seized more than 361 million lethal doses of fentanyl across the state, enough fentanyl to kill every man, woman, and child in the country. In 2021, Landgraf was part of the successful effort to increase state funding for border security to $3 billion, for 2022-2023. In 2023, he successfully fought to increase that funding to $5.1 billion for 2024-2025. The 88th Texas Legislative Session ended on May 29, 2023. Members of the Texas House and State Senate are constitutionally required to meet for a 140-day regular session beginning the second Tuesday in January every odd-numbered year to vote on legislation and pass a balanced budget. In addition to serving as chairman of the House Environmental Regulation Committee, Landgraf is also a member of the Transformation Committee, House Administration Committee, Redistricting Committee, Select Committee on Community Safety, and the Select Committee on Youth Health and Safety.
Health and Fitness. Forget 10,000 steps. 7 tips for step counters. If you're struggling to reach 10,000 steps a day, here's some good news. The latest science suggests a fewer daily steps may be the sweet spot for many of us, depending on our age, fitness, and health goals. There is nothing magical or evidence-based about 10,000 steps a day, so feel free to let go of that goal. The notion to take 10,000 daily steps stems from a marketing ploy. As the 1964 Tokyo Summer Olympics approached, a Japanese researcher decided to nudge his nation to be more active by offering pedometers with a name that loosely translated as, quote, 10,000 step meter, end quote. The Japanese character for the number 10,000 looks a little like a person walking. More recently, scientists have come up with evidence-based recommendations about step count goals. I recently spoke with some of the world's leading experts on the science of step counting. Here's their advice. 1. Your step count goal may be lower than you think. In the past few years, multiple large-scale studies have stepped up, looking closely into how many steps we probably need for our health and longevity. In the largest, published last year in the Lancet Public Health, dozens of global researchers pooled data from 15 earlier step count studies, some unpublished, covering 47,471 adults of all ages, and compared their typical daily step counts to their longevity. The sweet spot for step counts was not 10,000 or more. In general, the pooled data showed that for men and women younger than age 60, the greatest relative reductions in the risk of dying prematurely came with step counts of between about 8,000 and 10,000 per day. For people older than age 60, the threshold was a little lower. For them, the sweet spot in terms of reduced mortality risk came at between 6,000 and 8,000 steps a day. 2. Even a small increase in daily steps is good for you. Not managing 8,000 steps a day at the moment, or 6,000, or even 5,000, you're not alone. Even before the pandemic, most Americans were averaging fewer than 6,000 steps a day. And COVID-19 seems to have reduced many people's daily step counts by 10% or more. According to some recent research, with daily activity levels only slowing, returning to pre-pandemic levels. How do you begin to increase your step counts? Even very small increases in daily steps are good for you. Quote, I suggest starting with an increase of about 500 to 1,000 steps per day, end quote, said Ulf Ekelund, a professor at the Norwegian School of Sport Sciences, who studies physical activity and was one of the co-authors of the Lancet Step Count Study. Every week or two, try accumulating another 500 or 1,000 steps, Ekelund said, until you reach at least 8,000 a day or 6,000 if you're past age 60. 3. You don't need an expensive step counter. Quote, phones or watches are reasonably accurate, end quote, said Iman Lee, an epidemiologist at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, who studies physical activity. But not everyone owns a watch or similar activity tracker, Fulton said, while, quote, almost everyone has a smartphone now, end quote. And almost every smartphone, Apple or Android, contains an accelerometer, which is a movement tracker, that can tell you how many steps you take, Fulton said. If your phone sits on your desk, it won't count your steps. So, for an accurate measure of total daily steps, bring your phone as you amble. Carry it in your pocket, purse, or hand. The accelerometer should pick up your movements regardless, he said. 4. Learn step count math. Here's some basic step count math. 1,000 steps is about half a mile. Want to go that extra mile? For most of us, 2,000 steps is about a mile, depending on stride length. Taking 10,000 steps would mean walking for about 5 miles. 5. Speed doesn't matter. In terms of time, a half hour of walking equals around 3,000 steps for most of us if we don't hurry. The good news is we probably don't need to hurry. In almost all of the recent studies of step counts and mortality, the intensity of the steps, meaning how fast people walked, didn't seem to matter much. It's the overall number of steps they took throughout the day that made a difference. 6. Step goals aren't about weight loss. Walking is not a calorie zapper. In broad terms, accumulating 2,000 steps, which is walking for about a mile, burns about 100 calories for an average adult moving at a strolling pace. 7. It's easier to count steps than minutes of exercise. Why count steps at all? Because for most of us, it's a simpler, more concrete goal than accumulating, quote, at least 150 to 300 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity, end quote, every week, which happens to be the formal advice in the U.S. government's 2018 physical activity guidelines.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.